Chapter 7. True Success and Prosperity. Millions of children are started on the path of life without a destination. They act like little toy engines wound up with a little power, running without a track, only to smash up against anything that comes across their path. Such aimless journeys in life are the lot of most people, because in early life, they were never started toward the right goal, nor were they properly equipped with systematic powers that would enable them to keep moving on their definite paths. On this stage of life, most people act like puppet actors, played by environment, prenatal instincts, and destiny. They never know what parts they can play successfully, nor can they harmonize their own duties with the general plan of the cosmic drama. Millions, so to say, do their duties in life as if in a somnambulistic state. You should definitely discover your life's path by analyzing early childhood and present life before you hastily sidetrack in a wrong direction. Then, after you find your path, try to build around it all the creative money-making methods at your command. Your money-making methods, however, must be made within the boundaries of your idealism. Otherwise, you may have money, but not happiness. Happiness is only possible when the desire for making money cannot lure you to travel on the wrong path. Wake up. It is never too late to diagnose your life. Analyze what you are and what your deep-seated work is so that you can make yourself what you should be. You have talents and power that you have not used. You have all the power you need. There is nothing greater than the power of mind. Resurrect your mind from the little habits that keep you worldly. Smile that perpetual smile, the smile of God. Smile that strong smile of balanced recklessness, that billion-dollar smile that no one can take from you. Swami Kriyananda writes the following. A man burdened with worldly responsibilities asked, "What place does duty hold on the path to inner joy?" Sri Yogananda replied, "To live irresponsibly is to live for the ego, not for God. The greater a person's emphasis on ego fulfillment, the less his awareness of true joy. To fulfill one's duty in life may not be easy, and it may not always be immediately enjoyable. Attaining divine joy is a long-term proposition. Man must discharge his duties in life and not avoid them if he would attain freedom in eternity." Men of success are those who have nerve enough to make an indelible blueprint in their minds of whatever they wish to build or produce upon this earth. They then employ as the financiers their creative ability, as the builders their willpower, as the carpenters, their detailed attention, and as the laborers, their mental patience, and thus materialize their dream. You are unhappy because you do not visualize strongly enough the great things which you definitely want, nor do you employ your willpower, your creative ability, and your patience to materialize them. Happiness comes with your ability to manifest first your smallest desires and later your biggest dreams. You must be careful not to harbor impractical ambitions in your life and consequently spend your years wading through the mire of poverty and sarcasm from family and friends as you chase a rainbow trail. Make mental blueprints of little things and keep on making them materialize until you can make your big dreams also come true. Be happy in the definite accomplishment of the small successes, and then you will know how to be a happiness millionaire when later you materialize the big dreams of your life. Unhappiness is caused by failure. You can create permanent happiness for yourself by letting nothing ever disturb you on your forward journey to success. There are no obstacles. There are only opportunities. Yogananda wrote the following essay to support Henry Ford's idea of replacing the 6-day work week with a 5-day work week. Man is a spiritual and a material being. He ought to develop himself spiritually by inner discipline, but he must be materially efficient by developing his business faculties. Primitive man was busy using all his mental faculties for satisfying the needs of the material life. His time was spent in hunting, eating, and sleeping. Modern man scientifically tries to meet the present material conditions of life. What primitive man did unmethodically, modern man does methodically. This method in his efforts for material success has also indirectly improved his inner faculties. The masters of India believe in directly developing the inner faculties of willpower to fight temptation and a feeling for serving fellow beings. Since God has given us hunger, and since we have a physical body to look after, we must have money earned honestly and scientifically by serving the right needs of our fellow beings. Business life need not be a material life. Business ambition can be spiritualized. Business is nothing but serving others materially in the best way possible. People label those stores that start out with only the idea of money-making dens. But stores that concentrate wholly on serving customers with the best articles at a minimum cost are the ones that will always succeed and that will advance the moral development of the world. I will never forget the remark of a fine salesman in a large shop where I was selecting an overcoat for myself. "Sir, I am not trying to sell you something. I am trying to find out exactly what you need." He knew I could buy a $200 overcoat, but he sold me a $60 one that exactly suited me. I was pleased to get what I needed at a reasonable price. He secured in me a permanent customer for his store. If he had sold me the costly overcoat, I would have never gone back there again. In this way, people should spiritualize their business ambition by thinking of serving the proper needs of their fellow beings. Man should make money also for the sake of creating philanthropic institutions to serve public needs. When one makes a great deal of money by making others prosperous and again uses that wealth for helping others to help themselves, that is spiritualizing ambition. Wealthy parents who leave too much money to their children choke the development of self-earned evolution, success, and happiness. I agree with Mr. Henry Ford in helping people to help themselves and not in humiliating, slave-breeding charity. Only by having ambition crowned with the ideal of service will materially ambitious people find a spiritual reason for making money. Without ambition, we cripple our faculties and thus hinder the progress of humanity. One reason why Oriental peoples have been more spiritually inclined is because they have taken life more easily, refused to convert themselves into business automatons, and have had more time for contemplation. Of course, many Orientals use their leisure for feeding lazy habits instead of spiritual realization. But as a rule, the Oriental people have an awakened spiritual perception. Our Western brothers have used their time in developing only the material and intellectual factors of life. They are too busy to enjoy the fruits even of their material labor, or to know much of peace, relaxation, and bliss. Many Western brothers are enslaved by their less important engagements and forget their highest engagement of blissful God contact. The Western brothers must make time. Though their struggle for a livelihood is greater due to their colder climate, still, by their extensive use of machinery, they have an advantage over their Eastern brethren. They can then thus save time to be used less for dancing and amusements and more for the deeper studies of life. Business activities and money are for the comfort of man, but blind greed for them must not rob him of his happiness. 6 full days and nights of machine-like existence and part of one day only for spiritual culture are not balanced. The week should be allotted to work, amusement, and spiritual culture. 5 days for money making, 1 day for rest and amusements, and 1 day for introspection and inner realization. Man must have some free time to find himself. 1 day a week, Sunday, is not enough, because it is only holiday. He wants the day for rest and is too tired to meditate. With a 5-day work week as proposed by Henry Ford, people could use Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday to get away from the noisy city environment and thus increase their longevity. The Chicago chief of police said that if city noises were eliminated, man's longevity could be increased by 11 years and his nervous system calmed down. Almost every family in America nowadays can afford an automobile, and with it, they can get out of the cities on weekends and refresh themselves in peaceful retreats in nature, living the double life of a hermit in the woods and a warrior in the field of worldly activity. It is extremely necessary that the 5-day work week of Henry Ford be carried out by all business concerns. Truth-loving, real-world patriots should cooperate by giving working people Saturday, a day for amusement and relaxation, and Sunday, an exclusive day for developing habits of meditation, seeking spiritual fellowship, and experiencing the highest good, the God bliss within. The 5-day working week plan is extremely desirable and necessary in order to give people more time to enjoy nature, simplify their lives, enjoy the true needs of their existence, get to know their children and friends better, and best of all, get to know themselves. Why not learn the art of living rightly? We must begin with children as well as with adults. The plastic mind of the child can be molded into any shape by self-disciplined adults. Desired habits can easily be created in children because their will to perform them is mostly free, except for a few innate tendencies. Adults have to battle and expel old habits in order to establish good ones. But all habits, whether in children or adults, must be cultivated through the medium of spontaneous willingness. In training children in a balanced life or in habits of paying equal attention to the earning of money and to the acquisition of spiritual happiness, the time and method of training has to be considered. People lose their balance and suffer from money madness and business madness only because they never had the opportunity to develop the habits of a balanced life. It is not our passing thoughts or brilliant ideas, but our everyday habits that control our lives. There are some very busy businessmen who make millions without being unbalanced or nervous. There are other businessmen who become so engrossed in money-making that they cannot think of anything else and do not wake up until something terrible happens to them, such as sickness or loss of all happiness. Many psychologists say that adult behavior is but the repetition of the training which one receives between the ages of 2 and 10 or 15. Spiritual sermons inspire the minds of children to better action, but that is all. Actual practical discipline for roasting the seeds of prenatal habits lodged in the subconscious and superconscious minds is necessary. This can only be done by scrubbing the brain cells of seed habits with the electricity of inner concentration. Children ought to be brought up with the spiritual ambition to make money only for the sake of service. It lies in the hands of adults to uplift children and bring them into a balanced life. As long as adults remain intoxicated with a one-sided material life, children's highest potentials will remain unfulfilled. Thus, in order to save the future world by saving the children, parents must wake up and cultivate balanced habits of material and spiritual life. In order to lead a balanced life, adults must educate themselves and realize that business ambitions are only for making themselves and others happy. Without this realization, strenuous business activity only produces nervousness, greed for money, lack of social qualities, miserliness, and disrespect for all good principles. Only with this realization of service for others can life be really happy. I know many prominent, intelligent businessmen who in their heart of hearts are discontented with everything and are craving God and wisdom, but they are helplessly carried away by their habits and too many engagements. They sacrifice their highest engagement with God, truth, higher studies, and more home life for money-making or some useless engagement. As the art of war needs certain training, so does our battle with active life need certain training. Untrained warriors are soon killed on the battlefield. So also men untrained in the art of preserving their poise and peace are quickly riddled by the bullets of worry and restlessness in active life. Very few people analyze whether they are progressing or going backward in life. As human beings endowed with reason, wisdom, and understanding, it is our greatest duty to use our reason and wisdom rightly so that we may know whether we are going backward or forward. If failures trouble you repeatedly, don't get discouraged. They should act as stimulants, not poisons, to your material or spiritual growth. The period of failure is the best season for sowing the seeds of success. Weed out the causes of failure and launch with double vigor what you want to accomplish. The bludgeon of circumstances may bleed you, but keep your head unbowed. Death, in the attempt to succeed, is success. Refuse to harbor the consciousness of defeat. Always try once more, no matter how many times you have failed. Persevere 1 minute more in the race for success when you have done your best and can do no more. Fight when you think you can fight no more, or when you think that you have fought your best. Every new effort after a failure must be well planned and charged with increasing intensity of intention. Begin from today to try to do one thing at a time, the things you thought impossible for you to do. Change is often approached with apprehension. In giving up something, people think, will I be left with nothing? It takes courage to renounce the known for the unknown. It is not easy even to renounce a familiar pain for an unknown and therefore uncertain happiness. The mind is like a horse that for years has pulled its delivery wagon. The horse is accustomed to its daily route and cannot be convinced easily to walk a new one. The mind, too, will not lightly abandon its old habits, even when it knows they cause only misery. Beneficial changes should be embraced with courage. As long as one's hopes for better things are opposed by fear of their attainment, the mind can never be at peace. Accept change, therefore, as life's only constant. Our lives are an endless procession of gains and losses, of joys and sorrows, of hopes and disappointments. At one moment, we find ourselves threatened by the storms of trials. Moments later, a silver lining brightens the gray clouds. Then suddenly, the skies are blue again. Life is change. Remain ever calm within. Be even-minded. When working, be calmly active. Someday, you will know yourself to be subject no longer to the tides of destiny. Your strength will come from within. You will not depend on outer incentives of any kind for motivation. As a devotee on the spiritual path, give little weight to the trials that beset you. Be even-minded. Walk with courage. Go forward from day to day with calm inner faith. Eventually, you will pass beyond every shadow of bad karma, beyond all tests and difficulties, and will behold at last the dawn of divine fulfillment. In that highest of all states of consciousness will come freedom from every last trailing vapor of misfortune. To help your family with food is necessary, but to help them develop their mental powers is more necessary. To develop their souls by leading them to meditative ways of God contact is of paramount importance. You must do something every day to satisfy the cosmic plan for which you were sent here. Most people are unhappy because they forget to harmonize their earthly, learned duties with their duties according to the demands of the cosmic plan. The cosmic plan demands that you include in your true happiness the happiness of the most needy ones, if you would satisfy your soul. Every day, try to help uplift those physically, mentally, or spiritually sick as you would help yourself or your family. If from today, instead of living in the old misery-making selfish way, you live scientifically according to the laws of mind and of God, then no matter what little part you may be playing on the stage of life, you will know that you have been playing your part well, as directed by the stage manager of all our destinies. And remember, your part, however small, is just as important as the biggest parts in contributing to the entire success of the drama of souls on the stage of life. Make a little money and be satisfied with it by living a simple life, and expressing your ideals rather than have lots of money and worries without end. Trials do not come to destroy you, but in order that you may appreciate God better. God does not send those trials. They are of your own making. All you have to do is to resurrect your consciousness from the environment of ignorance. Environmental troubles are born because of your conscious or unconscious actions in the past, somewhere, sometime. We must blame ourselves for that. However, you must not develop an inferiority complex. You must say, I know that thou art coming. I shall see thy silver lining, and in this tumultuous sea of trials, thou art the pole star of my shipwrecked thoughts. Why are you afraid? Remember, you are not a man or a woman. You are not what you think you are. You are an immortal being. Habits are your deadliest enemies. Even as Jesus could manifest his love and say, when sorely tested, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So you must forgive your exacting trials and say, My soul is resurrected. My power is greater than all my trials, because I am the child of God. Thus, your mental powers will expand, and your cup of realization will be big enough to hold the ocean of knowledge. Your forever hungry desires must be attended to and nourished with proper environment and activity. Then you will be happy and prosperous. Most people reason that if they first have prosperity, then they can think of God. But you must have God first, because He is what you need. If that consciousness comes, then you will have real happiness. God must be with you always. If you once have that great contact with God, then the prosperity of the universe will absolutely be at your feet. So don't forget that God is your provider. It isn't what you own, but what you can get at will that is real prosperity. To live a contradictory life is to live unspiritually. When your whole consciousness, no matter what your faults are, is toward God, toward the silence, then that is being with God. When you perform all the duties of life cheerfully, without letting any duties upset your happiness, that is called spiritual happiness. That is when all your mind and consciousness is going back toward the source, toward God, freedom, fresh air, happiness, and plain living. These are the highest things that the masters of India teach. The masters have always given the training of plain living and high thinking to students. You are living directly by the power of God. Suppose God suddenly changed the climate of this country. What then? Where would be the food? How would you live? Why not remember that God is the supporter of the life that He gave to you? Even though He made that life dependent upon food, still He is the direct support. He is the cause of everything. So when you lose your connection with God, you are bound to suffer. To forget God and live buried in luxury is heathenish. Having little, I have everything, for I have God. Yogis have learned that God can never be found outside, but when you go deep within your soul, in the temple of God, then you can say, No one in the whole world cares for my health, prosperity, and happiness as my Father does. He is with me always. Every day affirm, Lord, thou art my provider. Manifest thy prosperity through me. Father, thou art my riches. I am rich. Thou art the owner of all things. I am thy child. I have what thou hast. You should affirm this before going to work in the morning. Remember that you are absolutely living by God's laws, and he will show you the way. Man showed you the way and then left you cold. God's way will bring you happiness and prosperity. If we can come to that state when we can say, what is mine is yours, then it will be much better. It is extremely difficult in this age of selfishness to be prosperous. Selfishness must go. It can only be destroyed by everyone being unselfish. You must live it yourself. And the best way to teach is by your own example. Although it is necessary to make money, it is more necessary to gain happiness. Money is made for happiness, and not happiness made for money. Those who concentrate upon making money as their only happiness do not find real satisfaction, for no amount of money can buy happiness if it is lost through systematic wrong actions. People surrounded with money, but unable to use it properly in order to make themselves and others happy, die of happiness thirst. Many people forget that making money is only a means to the goal of happiness. It is as ridiculous to concentrate upon the means and forget the goal as it is to keep traveling on a road and forget your destination. It is meaningless to develop the habit of accumulating money and not use it to make yourself and others happy. Many people make the mistake of running after money first instead of first seeking happiness. To try to earn money with a disgruntled, worried mind is not only unsuccessful, but it produces more anxiety and unhappiness. The best way lies in trying to make money after first making sure of happiness. Earning money with a serene and happy attitude leads not only to success, but ensures happiness also. Happy people make others happy by their example, for actions speak louder than words. Some people say that happiness is found only in mental contentment, whereas others say it consists in having lots of money, an overabundance of furniture, yachts, estates, and cars. But these views are one-sided and incomplete. The ascetic, sitting in a cave, may have some mental contentment, but he has to depend upon food products grown by a farmer or produced by a factory. He has to wear clothing made by a weaver. No ascetic in the world could find complete happiness only in the mind without the use of at least a few material things. On the other hand, it is untrue that all happiness is dependent upon constantly buying the countless objects that one's fancy may dictate. In fact, when happiness is sought only through the acquisition of an infinite number of material things, it can never be found. For happiness consists principally in the attitude of the mind and is conditioned only partially by outside factors. There have been martyrs who sacrificed their lives rather than lose the inner comforts of their minds. Such people have found happiness in states of the mind without the addition of any material things. On the other hand, it is very rare to find people who seek happiness only by acquiring more and more material objects. The man whose entire happiness is dependent upon the creation and fulfillment of new desires can never be happy, for his happiness is always dependent upon something that he expects to have sometime in the future. He courts happiness without ever winning it, just as a dog will chase continually after the ever-receding sausage dangling far off in front of his eyes from the end of a long stick tied on his back. Man can never satisfy his desires if he forgets that happiness is mostly in the mind and only partially in the acquisition of the world's necessities. Remember that he who seeks only material pleasures will lose the divine joys hidden behind them. He that finds the cosmic joy of meditation loses the attachment to the pleasures of material life. He who loses the desire for material pleasures in order to find the Christ intelligence within will find the everlasting joys hidden behind material life. That devotee who foregoes the pleasure of the body to feel the ever-new joy felt in ecstasy and meditation will find that all material prosperity and pleasures of earthly life will be added unto him. He who forsakes earthly happiness for God happiness will find earthly happiness too, but he who seeks material happiness only will lose it because of its short-lasting nature. Bless me, that I may perceive thee through the windows of all joyous activities. Mayest thou look at me and cheer me always while I am engaged in my duties. Let my every activity, waking, sleeping, dreaming, be sprayed with thy presence. Father, teach me to perform every work just to please thee. Let me feel that thou art the electricity of my life, which moves the machinery of my bones, nerves, and muscles. In every heart throb, every breath, every outburst of vital activity, teach me to feel thy power.